I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine.
Joel's sitting here whining about the effects of reffing games. Cooper Mikulski's looking at him like, dude.
I can do one, but I did two on Friday and tweaked something, so I'm still tweaking today.
Joel, clipping that. I get that one for free. Joel is still tweaking today.
At least I'm not twerking today. I'm tweaking is what I'm doing.
If I just wait long enough, will you say that you are twerking? Will you give me that many gifts all at one time?
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you today the top five worst ways that your NFL football season can end, okay?
So you got
that. You got that fancy timpani drum roll that we could use for this?
I do, matter of fact. All right. Have been working on getting my buttons organized. Look at, you see the color coding?
You have color coding. You have snowball throwdown showdown ready to roll.
I have retitled everything. Like, I know right where that timpani roll is, specifically because, hey, it's light blue.
All right. I thought to myself, as a Viking fan, I thought I could just give you a lot of ways Viking season have ended, but that wouldn't be any fun. So top five worst ways that an NFL season can end for your team in the playoffs. Number five, everybody gets food poisoning, and at halftime, no one can come back out onto the field due to obvious reasons. Number four, the halftime show of Godzilla versus King Kong gets a little out of hand. And since you are the one responsible for bringing them in, your team has to forfeit the game.
Okay. I see where we're going here. All right.
Number three. Coach gets distracted by opportunity to interview Kevin Federline on his podcast.
Oh, that's right. K-Fed from the top rope.
Number two. Let's see. I can't read my own writing. Oh, the entire offensive line got locked in the bathroom stalls at halftime and couldn't come back out into the field.
Well, I think two of those were actually the same thing.
Exactly.
Hold on.
And the number one worst way for your NFL team to end the season is playing your rival and they score 25 points in the fourth quarter to end your season. There you go, folks. That's the worst way.
Lombardi. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rolling in his grave is an understatement there. Yeah.
Like I said earlier, though, I feel happy for Bears fans. It's been a long time, and there's a lot of Bears fans in the area. And they've gone through some horrible, horrible stuff. But let me remind you this also, Bears fans. You have a Super Bowl 40 years ago, okay? There's another team in that division, two of them, that don't even have a Super Bowl, and one have never been to one. So so the whining is warranted because your team has stunk for a long time, but just get in line.
Oh, yeah, and that's just it. Like, to the Packer fan who's upset at the complaining or the, if you don't like the cheese grater thing, I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world.
So that was the hat, the cheese hat they had on that I saw?
And a whole bunch of fans, too, were grating cheese in the stands. Like, I think they showed, like, a half a dozen different guys. They showed, like, a bunch of times.
They were ready for it.
Well, so, like, it just, there's a simple fact. There's one reason that is, and it's that the Packers have been weirdly successful for a weird amount of time. You can't sustain success. You can't have three great quarterbacks in a row. It just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And the things that have been going on with the Lions, the Bears, the Vikings have been relatively normal the last 30 years. Not great for any of you, normal-ish.
Right.
Like slightly below average, maybe. But all three of you coming on at the same time. Absolutely love it. It's real competition. The Packers are still good, guys. And hey, I just saw news. It looks like the Packers are in talks to extend Matt LaFleur. So you fire LaFleurers.
And Hapley's gone, right? He'll be gone.
Probably.
Yeah.
See, that's just it, though. The unit that collapsed was Hafley's, and he might have shown this back half of the season that he can't win without Micah Parsons. We've lost the last five games, including that one on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the pass rush was still okay. Rashawn Gary was getting there a little bit.
He was getting there, and Caleb Williams is not a yardstick you can use for pass rushing success. The dude is weirdly good this year. And why is it weird that he's this good? He's not even necessarily the best I can think of at avoiding the sack, but he's suddenly among the best. He's suddenly in that conversation. And last year, he was just sitting there, oh no, here it comes.
It's only his second year,
too. It's his second year.
Feels like he's been around for about five.
And, like, a good coach clearly has shown up. Somebody who can do what needs to be done with the tools that are in place. And we all expected improvement. But it's weird how much they improved. It's scary how much they improved. It's intimidating. And I love it. I'm here for it. Next year is going to be darn good. Now I could just get to buckle up and watch the Rams? Who's going to bump them off? It might actually, they could do it.
Rams almost lost.
I know. They look mortal. That's part of why I'm starting to enter the they could do it crowd. That said, Caleb's incompletions, that he's got to clean up. He's absolutely got to clean up. He had completed less than half of his passes, I think, for the majority of that game. I'm not sure if he finished the game under 50%, but that many incompletions eventually turns into turnovers. How he hasn't done it so far, they can't exist. They're
so we have the Bears hosting Seattle. The Rams. No, Bears. Seattle's number one seed, so Bears are the two seed.
So
Bears will host the Rams, right? And then Seattle will host.
Or is it the Niners?
Seattle will host one of those two. So the Bears
going to be football.
The Bears are home, and Seattle will be home next week. The Bear game will be at noon on Sunday. By the way,
Niners, Seahawks, Rams, Bears.
Rams, Bears. Okay, so Stafford, the old lion, going back into Chicago to take on the Bears and try to put an end to that.
Man,
there's nobody. The NFC, as good as the NFC has been. Now, all of a sudden, we have four teams. It's just like, Seattle's probably the best of the four, but there's a Sam Darnold thing going on. The Bears might be the number two team out of the four. As far as the Rams did not look good this past weekend. I mean, they were fortunate to get that one. And the 49ers are really banged up. Could this be the every 40-year Super Bowl for the Bears? Although they did have one in between there. They went to the Super Bowl, but they didn't win it.
You know what? Since the Packers are already down and out, and there's nobody I necessarily have an attachment to remaining in the tournament, why don't we punch the Bears ticket this year and we'll see him again in 2065? I'll keep that schedule. I'll tell you what. As the Vikings fan, would you take a guaranteed only once every 40-year Super Bowl?
It just takes... Yeah, oh, definitely.
You would?
Definitely.
But you can't win in between.
I already told you I'd trade one Viking Super Bowl victory for both Twins World Series. I told you that. What else do you need to know?
I haven't asked you if you trade it for any loved ones yet. We haven't quite gotten to the... All right. Lay your pinky finger on this table, Joel. I've got an axe here.
Let me get you Blake's phone number. Let's get him on the line here. And I want to hear what he says first.
You've been adopted by the Green Bay Packers. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, I looked at this up last night. The four highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, including Joe Burrow and Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence, there's one other one, are all three of them didn't even make the playoffs, and Dak Prescott, and one of them's out of the playoffs. So do you need a great quarterback to win the Super Bowl? It helps. You need a good quarterback, but the defense, goodness gracious, did you see New England's defense last night?
Just stifling.
Just their defensive line was like watching an unbalanced ninth grade basketball game where the ninth graders or one team is just so skilled and the other one's like, I'd rather not be here. That's what it looked like. And New England, just total domination.
And it led to their first playoff win without Tom Brady on the team since December of 97.
97, the first playoff win.
The first Patriots playoff victory without Tom Brady since December 28th of 1997.
He hasn't been out of the league that long. What? Oh, without Tom Brady. Okay, gotcha.
Just if you look at, they had a short drought of playoff wins before and a short drought after. So, yeah, there's absolutely some pigeonholing and cherry picking here.
Yeah.
But it's almost 30 years since they've won a playoff game without Tom Brady. Drake May is the guy. I am.
There's a reason why the Vikings tried to trade Their firstborn, everybody. For the Vikings tried to give him a whole bunch of first-round picks to go up and get him.
Yep.
But the Patriots said, nope, 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 nope.
Yeah, Kevin clearly knew. The Vikings knew, but I'm afraid they were not the only ones who did. And when it's that clear, yeah, that's so cool to watch, though. I love watching a young player have that much success, and it's like, all right, cool. Mahomes isn't just going to be alone there at the top.
Yeah, by the way, Tom Brady has gotten real good at color
so analyzing. Much better.
I mean, when he was showing yesterday the how you throw a football into the wind,
that I feel like I can do it now.
That was just like, I mean, that's an elite level of quarterbacking when you're dropping back and you're saying to yourself, I need to point the ball down and curl my wrist versus having the ball up normal. That kind of stuff that he provides, he settled in really fast to being good.
He showed up a little too soon for my taste. I was still very much, man, too much Tom Brady on the podium lately. And it, like, I didn't want him to fail, but just for the sake of variety, there was just too much of him for that stretch. It's like, Okay, he retired at the right time. He retired on top. Great. And then he showed up, and he wasn't that great with the color commentating.
Yeah.
But let's be real. Let's ask ourselves the critical question, how would I have done? How would I have done plopped into the same place? Now, give me 23 years of experience as the best quarterback ever. Combine it with my 2 years of radio experience. Okay, maybe. No.
Yeah,
no, absolutely not.
With the $350 million came an expectation right away. But with that job, like a lot of jobs, is you can only get good at it by doing it. Like,
yes.
Like, just take our industry, radio. I mean, I can pull somebody at a broadcasting school, and they've been going to school for 4 years and have a degree, and just like, well, but what do you sound like when you get behind the microphone? But then once you get a little experience, anybody's job, no matter what you're doing, once you settle in, and you cannot duplicate that experience unless you are actually doing the game, which Tom Brady has done for a year or two or one. And he's good at it. He's good.
Long enough to improve a lot.
I like him. I like Tony Romo. I love Tony Romo. People make fun of him, but he's just a dude sitting back. Was his foot in bounds? He'll go, he's doing exactly what the guy at the end of the bar is doing. He's going,
I was thinking the same thing. He leans over like he dropped his beer in the lazy chair.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if that's...
A lot of dad noises out of Tony Romo.
Yeah, exactly.
But that makes him relatable. And, like, I do miss the original version of Tony Romo where he predicted every play and he was right all the time.
He backed away from that now,
they obviously told him to tap the brakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a reason for that, which I may not know, but I'll accept, because you're right. He has turned into a...
There is that certain delay between when the play happens and the official comes on the mic and tells you what happens. There's a certain anticipation in that you need to leave alone. Yeah, there's that discussion going on at home. And as soon as Tony Romo says, the left guard was holding, that ends the discussion right there. So, I mean, it ends the discussion in every living room in America, so you need to leave that alone.
I loved it. I did love that first. He's just like, it's going to be a run to the left, Jim. Look how that tight end, you see he's motioning to the right, but there's nobody else over there. He's going to be a run to the left. And there it goes, run to the left.
To the left.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. It's over. It's over.
What's going to be fun about next year, though, is you've got – you legitimately have a year next year where Vikings, Packers, Lions, Bears, any of those four teams next year could win 14 or 15 games, would not be a surprise.
Yes.
The Vikings might be a surprise because they need a quarterback, and there hasn't been signs that their quarterback can stay healthy and stay on the field. But if the Vikings have a quarterback who's just 15th rated in the league, their defense is probably good enough to do just that. It's going to be another fun year next year.
Agreed. Middle of the pack D would be more than enough to do it. As I heard Brett Coleman put it, he's a great content creator for football. He does swear, so if you listen to your football content with the kids, he does one called Bootleg Football. But he mentioned the basic combo, you need one of two things. You either got to have a good team and a great quarterback, or a great team and a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And if either of them isn't good or great, and even if they're both just good, chances are somebody like Drake May is going to come along and just make a fool out of you. Or a good coach like Ben Johnson is going to bring a team that does have the combo in.
And every game along the path matters. I mean, if the Vikings had just squeaked out one victory earlier in the season, they would have finished a half a game ahead of the Packers, possibly. I mean, there would have been a thing. And with the way the Viking defense was playing, giving up one passing touchdown in their last eight games, the way that defense was playing, the Vikings would have been a tough out in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
It would have been a real tough out.
With that defense, man, it would have been absolutely the thing. Well, and that's the Packers are proof that if your offense plays half a game, you have a chance. But if your defense plays half a game, you lose every time.
Yeah.
That's just how it's going to be. That was a brutal exit for Green Bay. We'll chat with Mike Clemens about it and about the mood in the room. Green Bay's got a lot of free agents, but the core team is going to be intact. They extended Christian Watson. They've got Josh Jacobs on lock. They've got Jordan Love, and the offensive line might be a bit of a question mark, but those key pieces that you really worry about are pretty well in place. It's more about the coaching. For the Vikings, it's the quarterback. For the Lions, it's a little bit of everything. I'm not sure what their free agent outlook is. And the Bears, hold on, man. The rocket's still burning.
Congrats to the Bears. But if you're expecting Viking fans and Packer fans to be rooting for you this Sunday, I think you need to turn somewhere else.
Probably. I will say that I'm there for you because I want to lose to the winner.
Yeah.
If you take us out, I want you to go get that Lombardi because then I can say, hey, at least it was the team who dominated.
Yeah.
But one last thought before we grab some bottom of the hour news, weather and sports. We'll be back with Joel here in the Joel area. What is this, man?
It's the gray area.
It's like a Carmelo bar. It's
Joel
made of small pieces that don't have names. Yeah. And they kind of mix and mingle. But that tie with the Cowboys early in the season, 40-40, I think it was about week five, with how tight the NFC playoff race was. If you went back and all you changed was the Packers lost to the Cowboys, they wouldn't have even made the playoffs. They wouldn't have even played the Bears this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, naturally, just like you said, if that changed, other things would have too. The butterfly effect and somebody got its wings, whatever the case may be. Things change, other things change. But that tie was enough to be enough.
It was.
Crazy is it that the NFL is that close? Again, we'll chat with Mike Clemens later this week.
And for those of you mourning the loss of the Packer season, I have a transition for you coming up after the news. All right, stay with us. I will smoothly transition you and make you feel better.
Do I even want to know?
No, you don't.
I'm realizing that I didn't get things sorted here. All right, ABC News up next on 98Q. Cutting that mic off, 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Facing a criminal investigation from the Department of Justice, Fed Chair Jerome Powell says he thinks it's because the Fed hasn't cut interest rates as quickly as President Trump wants. In a video message posted Sunday, Powell says,
"Public service sometimes requires standing firm in the face of threats. I will continue to do the job the Senate confirmed me to do, with integrity and a commitment to serving the American people."
The subpoenas served last week connected to Powell's congressional testimony on renovations at the Fed's Washington, D.C. headquarters. It's loud outside some New York City hospitals today as 15,000 nurses walk off the job.
Good morning, 98Q Country. I can't even speak with Peter in the background.
Don August.
Oh, no.
Glenn Braggs.
Here we go.
Chris Bazio. Cal Eldred. Kevin Seitzer. This is therapy for Packer fans. Rob Deere. Don Money. Oh, it's a classic. Chuck Krim.
Okay, I'm getting the weirdest.
Dale Swaim.
The weirdest association here.
Sal Bando.
I'm reminded.
Jim Gantner.
Of the litany.
Bill Castro.
Of saints.
Bill Travers.
And I mean, no disrespect.
Jerry Augustine.
I've heard it a couple times. It's just like, what is happening?
Reggie Cleveland. Pitchers and catchers report, and what did Jimmy say in our note over the weekend? Like 39 days or something like that?
Pitchers and catchers
less
report
than
in 39 days.
I think it's
days.
Less than that, actually.
Spring training before you know it. I mean, April, isn't it? It'll be April when we first...
Yeah, first games are late March, early April, yeah.
Wow. Holy cow. Well, see, that's just it. They say there's no off season, and whether that means you're just packing yourself like I am with football info over the football offseason, or if you've got a second sport. Baseball really is a natural companion sport to football, I think, for its timing.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time over the weekend going through my 7,000 sports cards that I bought at an auction a couple of weeks ago. And I've got someone in my life, a friend of mine, who is a big Brewer fan. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be getting a whole stack of Brewer cards.
7,000,
man. He doesn't even know it yet.
Look at the big belt buckle on Joel.
That might be an overest. Maybe five. I didn't count them all. I think there's 5,000 to 6,000.
I just heard something. That was, I think that's Shayna shouting, underestimate. We know the truth, Joel. We know what happens. We know the sports cards. Everyone who's with somebody who's into sports cards knows the truth.
This is my Cadillac find of my sports card career. And it probably doesn't compare to some things that other people have found, but I paid $70 for three big boxes, over 5,000 cards. And I've got at least two full sets of 78, 79 NFL cards out of there. And there's more to come. There's some I haven't even gone through yet. So you dream of those Storage Wars moments when you do this stuff that you spend 70 and it turns into like 500 or 600?
No, well, yeah, Storage Wars.
Thank you, Joel. All right, the gray area. We have our shared spreadsheet that we... I just put random things in there. So I think each week we need to pick one topic of something that I put on there. And I'll see if the old man can remember what it was that I referred to.
I zoomed in for you.
I put it on there.
I made the text larger. You're still squinting. What can I do here?
No, I can't see that. You just go ahead and read it for me. You pick one.
All right. We're going to go like that.
A random topic off of Joel's mind from something that I experienced.
You can tell these are mostly from Joel's mind because two of these topics are actually the same topic.
Okay. What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is before you got here this morning, I was going through organizing your buttons that allow us to, the things that allow us to do this. These.
Uh-huh.
And there were four of them that were actually duplicated.
I mean,
we had two of these.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, like, the suspense was duplicated. Let's put it that way. we'll wipe two out with one stone here. In line 15, the topic you've suggested is Jets interceptions, but the very top is Trubisky had four touchdowns and the Jets had no INTs.
I heard that Mitch Trubisky threw four touchdowns for the Jets. For the Bills. And I thought, first thing I thought to myself was, am I listening to a podcast from 10 years ago? Is Mitch Trubisky still playing? And he is still playing. And he threw four touchdowns the last week of the NFL season. And the Jets went through the entire NFL season. I believe the first time ever that a team went through an entire season without getting one interception.
Yeah.
The entire season. They did not pick the ball off one time.
Since interceptions were recorded as a stat when they invented the forward pass, I believe. I mean, I believe it's like the 1930s that they started recording that stat. And that's the same decade the forward pass was introduced, if I'm not mistaken. So it's like, wow, there's no gap where it could have been worse than that. That's, wow.
There's some bad. I mean, the Jets is just, I'm sure there's NFL players that are like, please don't draft me. And Cleveland's probably the same thing. They're just like, I know Cleveland has a good fan base, but it's just like, just please.
That's what Rex Ryan was saying, was that there's a lot of players who should probably go back. Like, if you've got another year of eligibility, do that this year instead if you're a quarterback. There was one, I don't know if it was Mendoza or one particular player. I don't think it was, but I digress. That was the sentiment, and it was I think it was Rex Ryan, the former Jets head coach. So, like, you'd think he'd kind of homer for them and say they're possible. The one thing the Jets have going that I like right now, aside from any players, I'd have to take a peek at their roster because I know they do have a couple here and there, but I like that they didn't fire Aaron Glenn, because frankly it was so bad that it couldn't have been his fault. You can't screw up in 1 year as badly as is necessary to explain what's been happening to them. Zero INTs. It reminds me of that year where the Chiefs threw, I think, only one touchdown to a wide receiver that whole season. That was Alex Smith. But yeah, the Jets are historically bad, and I'm thinking if they don't turn it around, you know, if they don't get six wins next year, Aaron Glenn is absolutely gone. And maybe if they don't get eight, you know, I think they've seen They've seen what kind of turnarounds are theoretically possible with your Bears of the world and the Jags. There's a couple teams that really came on strong, the Patriots. So it's been proven that a young quarterback and a hot new coach can combine to make the magic.
Keeping it on football, college football, Indiana and Miami in the national championship game. Talk about both ends of the spectrum. Because we think of traditional powers from years ago. University of Miami used to be that. A lot of football tradition there in Indiana who... I thought they just had basketball. I didn't know they were playing football. But apparently they do play football. And the post-game interview with the head coach of Indiana was done very well. When they asked him, you know, how did the person on the sideline ask the obvious question, talk about the turnaround on this program. How did this happen? And he very politically and strategically said, well, there's certain opportunities that have been afforded us here with the current status of college football. And, we took advantage of those opportunities. And basically what he's saying is they're letting us buy players and we went out and bought them. He said that in a very under the table kind of way, but it's exactly what he said.
Kudos. And he'll get in trouble for it, probably. That'll be too honest for the people who make the decisions. But I love that. I'm unable to shut up. So I love when people can just speak the truth concisely and without disrespecting anybody.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that kind of thing. Another topic on here that I kind of can't resist because it's something that's on my mind, too. Uh-oh. According to Joel Karnick, scammers have ruined the sign-up contest. You know what I immediately think of? I don't know if this is where your head was at, but I immediately think of that car in the mall. That big, shiny truck with the cordons around
it. And the sign-up box.
The sign-up box stuffed full. And I know a little kid, because I was that little kid, just grabbed a bunch of empty ones and stuffed them in the box for funsies.
And what happened the week or two after you signed up for that?
Phone calls.
Yes.
Let me stress.
Not for the car. Well, maybe for the car.
Oh, no. Just
windows.
Phone calls.
Windows, insulation.
Yes.
Do you need a new bathroom?
Life. We heard you may be interested in.
They just wanted your info
wanted. Well, and now we've got this mutated version of it, which are data brokers. And I mean, nowadays, I think a lot of us hear data brokers, and I already sound like one of these ads. You'll hear about them in YouTube ads for services that will remove your information from the internet. That doesn't work. That absolutely doesn't work.
No.
You think when the company you paid $20 to this month sends a politely worded letter, please remove Gray's information from your database. You know what they do? They look at the law, say, law hasn't changed. We're going to keep that, keep selling it. And you can track it. I've had maybe a couple weeks here where I didn't get many spam calls, and then all of a sudden, like a faucet turned on one day, bam, I'm getting 13 a day again. And they're in regular intervals, and it's like, okay, so they very clearly, the people who had given up on me sold my info to a new group who's going to try me.
They're going to get you.
They're going to keep on trying me until they see if I answer. And when I don't, they're going to give up on me and rinse and repeat and rinse.
See, I came to this realization when we did the St. Clair Rods remote, and people were reluctant to, I would say, we were giving away a free quilt from Jane and all this stuff. And many people were just like, no thanks. And I thought to myself, there's a reason why, and I get it, why people are reluctant to give out any information.
Because
we've been told by society and by the experts, don't give out your personal information because there's a chance that it might be used. We would never do that. Basically, what we do is when you sign up for a contest at our remotes, we draw a winner, and the rest of the names we crumple up, and they all go in the wastebasket what happens.
Yes, and now that I am kind of at the reins some of the time, things are being done differently, but what that means is they're being entered on a Google spreadsheet that is shared to only me, which then gets deleted at the end of it. So it's the same thing. It gets crumpled up, thrown in the garbage. We could probably make $20 a month by selling people's personal data, but that just sounds like a terrible way to live. You know what I think of? I think of Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. Just, yes, give me your phone numbers.
I did notice, but you talked about the phone number thing and them reselling your name. I got very few spam calls up until about a year ago. And then, as many people know, I'm with the Lord's Cupboard Food Pantry. And I'm actually president of the food pantry now. It wasn't their choice. They're just like, we got nobody else. Joel, you want to do it? Sure. All right. So Joel's doing it. No, I'm kidding. I enjoy doing it a lot.
He puts a lot of effort into it. But
on our website, we had to update information at thelordscupboard.org. Mm-hmm. So when someone's in need or they need assistance right away, my phone number now, I updated the website and put my phone number on it. And about a week after that, I get about a call a day now. Because my phone number is on. That's the only thing that I've changed personally, but it's there. There's programs that'll just scan the internet for numbers, and boom, mine comes up, and just like, oh, let's call Joel. Let's talk to Joel.
Yep. And it's, well, I mean, it's like insurance rates. It's like, how does everybody hate this, but it stays the same? You know, why doesn't something happen?
But the commercials. Oh, my gosh, the commercials.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and I hate to say it, it's always going to go back to money. The people who do this pay to make it.
Limu, emu.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And Doug.
But no, the the thing that I dislike the most is that the reason it happens to most people is the most normal reason ever. You're trying to sign up for a social media profile. If you go on to Instagram and you want an Instagram profile like all your friends have, and I mean think like a teenager would. I want an Instagram profile like all my friends have. I want to be cool. You know, I don't want to be not included.
Right,
so
right.
You put your phone number into that. But part of those terms and conditions is, hey, we can sell your data. And I mean, it's so normal now that it's not even that scary to think about like it used to be. But when they sell your data, the people who buy it can also sell it. You have no agreement with that third group. Mm-hmm. And so, voila, it goes out in this huge web and poof, the moment you put it in one place, it's everywhere. And I've never had more peace and quiet than when I was so broke that I couldn't afford my phone bill. And it was like 2 months where it's like, you know what? I don't need to pay $100 for a phone line. And I got this track phone and I had a different phone number. And it was like I was in a cave by myself. It was amazing.
No one knew you were there.
It was amazing. And then I had to sign up for something.
Oh,
and I put
comes.
The new phone number in and poof, the avalanche began.
Here it comes.
Yeah, it's always money. It's always going to happen. And the one thing I'm grateful for is that my phone is also better than ever at catching them. It's just that better than ever still isn't good enough.
Yeah, my philosophy is if I see a phone number come in and I'm not 100% sure what it is or who it is, they'll leave a voicemail, all right? Call them right back. Call them back 60 seconds later. You don't have to pick it up. And by the way, the scammers got to get better too, because whenever I accidentally do pick up a call that somebody's trying to sell something, there's always like a 5-second pause. You go, hello, this is Joel. You hang up. It's just like, what? Why can't they just answer right away?
Do you know what that is?
What is that?
I can tell you the answer to that. It's the same reason that all companies have used this for a long time. It's called an auto-dialing system. It's got a couple different mm-hmm. names. There's actually a robot sitting there dialing people, waiting for signs that somebody picked up. And when somebody does pick up, then it connects you to the scammer person. The scammer person is not sitting there at all.
Yeah.
They're not involved in your call until you say hello. So when you say hello, it triggers a system. You'll often hear a click. And that 5-second delay is how long it's taking them to route to the scammer.
See, this is how old I am. As soon as you said there's a robot sitting there, you know what I thought of? I thought of the maid from the Jetsons. The robot maid from the Jetsons.
That's on me. That's 100% on me. The idea that there is
Rosie.
A robot sitting
Rosie
anywhere.
Rosie is her name.
The robot looks like the server. The other, yeah, Rosie. And she's got...
Meet George Jetson.
I'll tell you what. There's a non-zero chance that the robot auto-dialing you about your car insurance premium is wearing a skirt. All right. We've got top of the hour news coming after a few more country songs. This has been the Joel area, the gray area. What the
Paul
what the heck
Molitor.
Is even going on?
Don Augustine.
We'll be giving away gift certificates and doing birthdays coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour on 98 Q Country. Scotty McCreary's up next.